Again, our text is Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Oftentimes, the Bible is viewed as two different books, the book of the Old Testament and the book of the New Testament. And those two books are put together, but they are separated by 400 years chronologically, and theologically, we separate them in the same way. This is unfortunate because we ought to understand the Old Testament as the doorway into the New Testament. And if you look at your Bibles, you will note that according to the number of pages in your Bible, about three quarters of that Bible is the Old Testament and one quarter of it is the New Testament. And this should give us the idea, at least, that the Old Testament, at least in God's view, must be important if He's given so much of it to us. And indeed, this is the case. And in our text this morning, as we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, we find that the Apostle Paul immediately goes to the Old Testament to give us a proper understanding of the gospel. And this is the case in our text in Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, where Paul refers to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, and we've been looking into that book, and the Apostle Paul also refers to Abraham. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And you see the connection immediately. And so I say at the head of the outline, Jesus Christ rescued us from the curse of death in order to bless us with the spirit of faith as He blessed Abraham. And I really do think this is the case. And so as we look at this text, we have this thrust, this message, which is before us. And the first thing that we see in our text is that outside of Christ, we are all under the curse of death because of Adam's sin and because of our own sin. And in verse 13, we see that the Apostle Paul speaks of the curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. In the beginning, Adam, placed in the garden, was in a covenant with God, and a law of the garden was stipulated by God, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. There was a stipulation, and there was a curse attached to the law, and the curse was death. Well, we would understand that, would we not, that death is a curse. We're not looking forward to dying, are we? We're tenaciously hanging on to life. And it is only as we are in Christ Jesus that the prospect of death is in any way a blessing. It is a curse in its natural understanding, or the natural understanding of it. And as Adam sinned and violated the law of the garden, he received the due penalty of his failure, and that penalty was death. And everyone who is born into this world subsequent to Adam is under that same penalty of death. When Adam sinned, he lost an inclination of heart, a holiness before God. And I think at base, that's what holiness is. Adam was created holy before God. And when he sinned, he lost that initial holiness. And that holiness encompassed an inclination of heart, which was obedient to God. And he lost that inclination of heart. And he lost that holiness. And he was inclined to follow the devil. And he did so. And those who are born after Adam come into this world with that same disposition of heart that Adam had as a result of the fall, as a result of his sin, as a result of his disobedience. And as this is the case, there is in each one of us this sinful disposition. And we note, do we not, therefore, that we sin. And as I say in the first point, outside of Christ, we are all under the curse because of Adam's sin and because of our own sin. And we need to reckon with that. And that's why there's death in the world, because of sin. And the text tells us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the word which is translated redeemed means that Jesus Christ led us out from under the condemnation of the law. We are a people who, standing before the judge, are condemned to death and put on death row. And Jesus Christ comes and takes us off of death row and brings us out from the condemnation, the sentence of condemnation. And we are pardoned by the governor of the universe and brought into a state of freedom. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is that death penalty. And he did so by becoming a curse for us, the text says, by taking to himself the curse, by becoming an object of the curse of death. Think about this. That the Lord of glory entered into the world and in obedience to his Father to the point of death assumed that place on the cross of Calvary to die as an object of the curse of death. That the Prince of Life stooped to enter the world which is fallen and went to the cross. The Prince of Life went to the cross to die. And that's what our text is telling us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That the Prince of Life on that cross, uttering those words from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was no longer under the mercy and love and care of God, but at that point, suffering in the place of sinners, the wrath and curse of God. And the thieves on the cross that were with him, one of them upbraiding him and railing against him and shouting at him, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and us too. And the other thief on the cross exclaiming in response, do you not understand that we are under the same condemnation, the same death penalty as that man Jesus? And we are justly hanging on these crosses under the curse and penalty of death. We are justly under that penalty of death. But that man is innocent. And he was innocent as he took upon himself the curse of death. And so the thief turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he cries out to the Redeemer. Galatians 3:13 again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us in our place. And then Paul quotes from the Old Testament, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." And he puts those words in there, "for it is written," reminding us that this is a statement that comes from the book of God. And I'd like you to keep your finger in Galatians and turn back to Deuteronomy. We've looked at this text before, but let's remind ourselves of these words in Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23, the end of the 21st chapter of Deuteronomy, the book of the covenant in the Old Testament, or a book of the covenant. Verses 22 and 23. "If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree." You see, there's the likeness. There's the similarity of the individual being hung on a tree. But the dissimilarity is that Jesus was innocent. And the text in Deuteronomy speaks of the one who has committed a sin worthy of death. And hence the idea of Paul in Galatians 3, where Paul says they are hung on a tree because they are worthy of death, but this man was innocent, therefore he must have been on that tree as a substitute for the sins of others. Because it's that tree which is a symbol of something very dramatic. Verse 23, "His corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day." And of course, this is what occurred with the Lord Jesus after he died. His body was removed in accordance with the stipulations of the law of God. And then there's this parenthetical expression, "His corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him the same day. For he who is hanged is accursed of God." And the symbolism, the idea, the picture which is portrayed and stipulated in the Old Testament is that those who are placed on that tree, who are hung on that cross, are an object of the curse of God. Jesus Christ is on that tree. And he is on that tree to take the curse, the penalty of death, and the agony of death, and the wrath of God for sin as the object of the curse of God. And we pause, do we not? We pause to reflect upon that scene once again at Calvary when the darkness came and it was black as night. And there was no light. And there was no light in the life of those on the cross, but the curse was present. And Jesus assumes it on our behalf. Galatians 3 again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the biblical interpretation of the crucifixion of Christ proves that our Lord Jesus was the object of that curse. And then we come to the great and profound and astounding reasons given by Paul for our Lord Jesus being the object of the wrath of God. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we would be the recipients of the blessing of Abraham. And how was it that Abraham was blessed of God? Abraham walked with God. That's one of the ways that Abraham was surely blessed by God. And he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he was brought in the providence of God into Canaan. And in Canaan, he heard the gospel. Verse 8 in Galatians chapter 3 tells us that Abraham heard the gospel. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Abraham heard the gospel. And truly it is a blessing to hear the good news concerning Jesus Christ. And Abraham not only walked with God and not only heard the gospel, but Abraham had a great hope in God as he trudged up and down the landscape in Canaan as an alien and as a foreigner and as a sojourner. He was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for that new Jerusalem. He was looking for that habitation in heaven. He was looking for the heavenly kingdom. But he had a hope in abiding in that heavenly city through the gospel and through a friendship with God. And isn't that a blessing? That you should have, and that I should have, in the providence and grace of God, friendship with God, not hostility with God, but friendship with God. And isn't it a blessing that we should hear the gospel? And isn't it a blessing that we should have the hope of entering at the last day the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly city, after we sojourn in this life and trudge up and down the landscape of this world, doing our tasks day by day? Thank God for the blessing that comes. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. And Christ, having become a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, blessed with Abraham, who received the blessing. And then verse 14 says, in order that Christ Jesus, that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. Why did Jesus bring us out from under condemnation and take us off death row? And why did we receive the pardon from the governor of the universe? So that we would receive blessings from God. So that we would have the hope of eternal life in glory to come. So that we would hear the gospel. Yes. And so that we would have the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit of God around us and in us. And what a marvelous work this is. Because the presence of the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus Christ Himself, that other comforter. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is Jesus not leaving us orphans, but being with us and in us. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is a restoration of that holiness which Adam forsook in the garden. And a renewal of a disposition in our hearts inclined towards the things of God. It is a holiness in which we are set aside for the purposes of God. And we are renewed in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that great blessing of your Spirit, reorienting our lives and pointing us in your direction. And then the text adds, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that note of faith is added. And we need to understand this idea of faith as the outgrowth of the work of the Spirit within us. Let me try to explain it to you in a couple of different ways. We just received a little granddaughter into our household, into our family. And it was quite interesting to us that this little baby had a name long before she was born. Zoe, which means life. And when we had the privilege of going to Colorado and were waiting for the birth of this baby, we were on Zoe watch. That's what everybody called it. And when this baby arrived, the baby's name, she was called by her name, Zoe. And there was no difference between the time she was in the womb and afterward. So closely was that name associated with that child. And that's how it is with faith and the Holy Spirit. So closely is faith conjoined with the Holy Spirit that where the Holy Spirit is genuinely present in the hearts of men and women to give them that inclination that directs them toward God, faith is present and a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ brought us out from under the curse and became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, so that we would have the blessing of the Holy Spirit through faith expressed in Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing, it really is. And I want to commend to you also the idea that there is a contingency present in the text. And let's not get the contingency in the wrong place. Because very often the contingency is placed in our laps, so that if we recognize the work of Jesus Christ properly, it is in our court now. And if we just might embrace Jesus, we will have the blessings of the Spirit. Well, we see already that that is a fallacious way of thinking, because faith is an outgrowth of the presence of the Spirit in our lives. And the contingency is on the part of Jesus Christ. That if Jesus Christ enters the world and becomes a curse for us, and dies on Calvary's cross, if Jesus Christ does these things for His people are the recipient of the blessings of Abraham. And they are recipients of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And they are the blessing, the recipients of the blessing of faith in Christ. And so we may properly read the text this way. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that Jesus Christ was obedient to the point of death. Thank God that we can come and celebrate, yes, exalt in the Lord of glory and His work on our behalf in granting through His work to us the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of the Spirit, the blessings of faith. May God help us to understand in the depth and the core of our being His work on our behalf. Amen.